Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Rudd Kutcher is the founder and chief creative officer of Circus Maximus. They're a three-time Grand Prix winner at the Cannes Advertising Festival. They also helped Roman scale from a $0 valuation to over $6.8 billion. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Excited to have you on, man. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think I do what I do because I have no other real options. So once I figured out that advertising and being able to kind of have a career where you kind of solve problems, cultural issues, behavioral, kind of behavioral, economical issues, stuff like that, was like, I think I got to do that. I don't know if I'm going to be real qualified for much else here. And so, that's how I ended up in advertising. I was studying economics. And then I had a teacher for one semester in my senior year of college that was a former madman from, you know, the Madison Avenue days of New York. And when he showed up, it was just so different than all the other teachers that I'd had at school who were, you know, straight-laced accountants or economics professors, stuff like that. And everything he was saying was just so different. And yet still involved a lot of that same kind of business thinking and all the stuff that I'd kind of learned in college. And I was like, well, let's do that. And so that's how I found myself kind of falling into the business. Personal life, as you and I discussed before the show, I've got myself a 3-month old, which is teaching me some interesting lessons. That's the main transition. Live here in Austin, Texas, got a dog, got a wife. And got a truck and a hat. And if this doesn't work out, I'm going to write a country song and move into a new career. So that's kind of the background.
I love it.
And yeah, there you go.
Living the American dream, man.
Yeah. The American dream is still alive in small towns, man.
So I imagine that people ask you a lot about how you just the whole Roman story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with Roman, we had a friend, former colleague that had moved more into venture capital backed brands, and they were starting Roman, and they didn't even have a name at the time. This is 2014-ish, 2015. So kind of the beating heart of the middle of the VC backed brands. And the ambition was to create a vertically integrated men's pharmacy, which has since expanded into men's and women's medication to serve ED, the ED market. And at the time, you know, there's some interesting statistics around ED about how many men really suffer from it. Of course, they're all underreported.
Of course.
and so their hunch and their suspicion was this market is a lot bigger than it's being reported. And one of the fundamental problems with it is that men don't really want to talk about it. That's why it's underreported. So if we were able to provide a discreet online telehealth service, you absolutely can tap into this market, and we want to build a brand around it. And how do you basically build a digital brand around a service that serves an issue that no one wants to admit they have? And so that was like kind of the marketing challenge. And we built Roman. And the tagline that we came up with was to a healthy manhood. And it was really about, you know, there's sort of a double entendre there, a play on words, but there's really about more than just ED. ED, as it turns out, is kind of what we call the canary in the coal mine of men's health. It's the most obvious thing that can go wrong, you know, besides being shot or being in a car crash. You know, you're like, hey, this thing's not working. So it also serves as an indicator that you may be suffering from a kind of a constellation of other health ailments. Could be low blood pressure, heart issues, obesity, and kind of a host of other kind of important issues. So the way into solving that problem was ED. And then from there, that helped the vertical pharmacy kind of solve a host of other issues as well. Could be a result of smoking. So that was how we, I guess, kind of created a beachhead with consumers, and then built the brand from there. And now, you know, they offer all kinds of stuff from smoking cessation to alcohol cessation and Ozempic, which is gigantic.
Yeah.
So that was the business side of it. And then the fun side of it was, like I said, coming up with the campaigns that would get guys engaged. So we had a campaign, for example, guys did not want to admit that they were dealing with this problem. And so we ran a campaign that was like, this isn't for you, it's for your friend. And friend was always in quotes. And it was like, your friend may have a lot of questions, you know how friends are. So knowing that you don't need this information, but as to be a good friend, you should let them know. And then we would list off all the things that, you know, they needed to know. So, you know, we kind of had some fun with it.
Which totally makes sense. So in that scenario, do you put yourself in the shoes of, do you create like an avatar, just the guy who doesn't want to talk about it?
Yeah. So you try to get as much information, right? You're going to do some consumer research. You're going to get as much direct information from your potential customer as you can. And then there's this sort of the psychological, you know, the behavioral economic side of like, well, all right, you got a person that doesn't even want to admit they have a problem. How can you give them a solution? It's like a fascinating challenge. And you have to kind of dig in there to get them, you know, the idea behind the Friends campaign was that it was like, well, we could other this thing, meaning we could make this feel like it's someone else's problem, but we knew that guys would listen in. And so it's like, it's a little like cheat code that, all right, well, we're going to get them to pay attention by pretending like, you know, playing along that none of us deals with this thing. It's sort of getting an understanding of like, well, what's the kind of like the decision-making mechanism that's going on in people's brains, or like what's driving their behavior that's a barrier for them, or, you know, kind of getting that to the extent that you could ever know those things. We wanted to understand, you know, what's driving this weird behavior. But we knew that guys were going online to get Viagra because there was this huge gray market. You know, billions of dollars are being spent online to buy, you know, dodgy Viagra that's made in, you know, some bathroom somewhere that doesn't have any medicinal purposes at all. So we knew that guys had wanted the solution. It was the communication and behavioral unlock that we had to figure out.
It's fascinating. And so getting people's attention to click on it, and then they're probably less apt to walk into a drugstore to buy it off the shelf. I remember when I was, you know, a teenager, how embarrassed I was buying condoms, but then having it show up at my house, how all that happens. So the actual delivery, once you get them to buy it.
Buying condoms thing is so funny, but yeah, I think people are like certainly apprehensive, and we knew that, you know, you're walking into a fairly impersonal meeting with the doctor. I mean, people lie to their doctor all the time, you know, about how much do you drink? Oh, about, you know, 3 or 4 drinks a week. Okay. Like, so that's kind of a behavior that, you know, I'm actually kind of paraphrasing a guy named Rory Sutherland, who I just shared. He was on a podcast with a guy named Rick Rubin, who people might know. And Rory Sutherland is a famous ad guy, and his fascination with business is sort of the same as mine, which is like these, you know, this kind of behavioral economics triggers. And he was saying that if you've been to a McDonald's recently, you probably have ordered through like a tablet or
the kiosk.
And he was saying that what they found is that when men are ordering through the tablet.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.
There's something like 90% more inclined to order two hamburgers instead of one. Because we're actually hungry, right? But when you have to make that order to a human, you feel a little self-conscious about it. So the thinking was that, like, there's a level of impersonalization that actually allows for a degree more, whether you call it honesty or and I was sort of experienced that same thing with Roman, which was like, you're going to be able to go online. It's a little bit, more distance, right? Like, you're not face to face with someone, looking them in the eye, telling them you need ED medication. And so that was really the whole reason for the success, was guys were just more willing to sort of stay anonymous through this telehealth process. And that was a really powerful value prop.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it makes sense. And the data, the research on ordering through a screen and ordering more food than you would in person, it makes all sense in the world. So
it makes sense, but there's no way that you would never be able to do consumer research to discover that. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like an accidental discovery that once you see the behavior and you have the data, you can sort of go like, oh, that's what happened. But if you ask someone, hey, are you more likely to want to buy ED medications from a doctor face to face or through a tablet, they probably would have said through a doctor because it's more trustworthy and you can answer questions or something like that. But so it's one of those things where you asked, how do you get into the mindset of the consumer? And it's like, well, you can only do it so much, but that seems to have been the takeaway, you know, which, you know, was endemic to the platform of Roe, but we wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have been able to do a bunch of consumer research and come away with this idea that, like, oh, I know how to solve this. It was just kind of like a happenstance that the way that people wanted to buy this particular product was a side benefit of the way that we took this brand to market through telehealth.
So it's fascinating. Do you see it? Well, Roman getting into, not to keep going back to them, but getting into weight loss drugs. So there's embarrassment, there's maybe some shame around that. Do you see other industries that are similar using that approach of maybe the other?
I think it's like, you know, probably the better question for their product roadmap people, but with Ozempic, certainly, I mean, I think their mission was basically to deliver any kind of medication that people might need. I think this surprising speed and growth behind Ozempic has certainly been probably something that all online pharmacies have benefited from. I wouldn't speculate. I mean, they knew that the goal was, you know, trying to help people with other challenges, whether that's smoking cessation or weight loss or hair loss, things of that nature. So the shame around it, I guess, probably consistent, but there are other factors. I think with weight loss, I think, yeah, everyone across the board. I mean, the rise of Ozempic has been insane.
Yeah, it truly has. I was selfishly thinking about my own work. I work in personal finance, and there's certainly a lot of shame around money, and so many people struggle with money. And I wonder if there's not similar psychology that could be used by a company to get their service out.
Well, I'm sure, I think, in the world of personal finance, what's interesting is like 2/3 of Americans in an emergency don't have $1,000 of cash laying around. And that actually crosses income swaths. So you might be a high earner and you're still hand to mouth, which is, obviously a problem. So the thing about it is that people are kind of afraid to address that, though. They don't know how to get around that. And sometimes the solution isn't always that fun, which is like reduce your spend. And in a world of Instagram where like we all feel like we're supposed to be driving, BMWs and stuff, how do you reconcile that? I'm definitely, there's interesting psychology in there that would be fun to figure out for the right brand.
What is that roadmap or that process look like for brands, for companies that are thinking, I think that I would like some of that success that Roman experienced. So what does it look like? Somebody's listening, they call you up. What does that conversation look like?
Well, usually it is a conversation, and it's hey, what are we trying to do? What is the ultimate goal here? What do we want for our customer? How are we helping them get there? Trying to really think through kind of the big picture on what is this brand's role in kind of serving a customer get from point A to point B? And how much do we understand about that? And really just kind of asking as many questions as we can to really get to the heart of the issue. Like with Roe or some of the other brands that we've worked with, King C. Gillette as an example, there's kind of a behavioral situation that's going on. And, with King C. Gillette, this is a brand that we launched for Procter & Gamble. They sort of saw, it wasn't hard to see that behavior around shaving had changed. So now a lot of men are growing beards, but those same men don't really know how to grow beards, or that, hey, taking care of this hair on your face isn't just about letting it grow. You have to trim it, and you get ingrown hairs, and you have to shape it, and you have to take care of it, and it gets dry, and it gets itchy. And it's like, there's all these things that we had to kind of educate guys to help sort of become excellent beard growers, the same way we had spent 100 years helping them become excellent shavers. And so it turns out that it wasn't just kind of giving guys products, it was giving them information and confidence and education. So, the more questions you kind of ask, the more you realize of like, what is the role that this brand is going to play in someone's life? And then you kind of build it around that. And if you're doing, and if your hunch is correct, and you're sort of answering the right questions, solving the right problems, you do tend to find success. But it's not an iterative thing where like, the difference between kind of like anyone that's watched Mad Men is that, some guy like Don Draper walks into a room smoking a cigarette and goes, fellas, here's where you got it wrong, and here's the answer. It just doesn't quite work like that. It's usually a lot of back and forth and failure and ad campaigns that got it wrong, or products that didn't quite get it right. And you kind of inch your way towards something that's a little bit more successful.
That makes a lot of sense. Love it. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage?
Yeah, I think on LinkedIn, Ryan Kutcher. And then you can find circusmaximus.com is the name of the agency. And between those two places, you'll be able to find me.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Ryan your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You can find Ryan Kutcher on LinkedIn. It's RyanKutscher. And then check out circusmaximus.com. And I'll link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.